Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome to the mission. You guys are rocking it. I know you are looking for the word. Okay, you are the most, not only the best podcast audience, and I get to say that when no one else is listening but us. And when I interview podcast hosts, they're like, what? Okay, you're the best audience. You know what? You're the most dedicated. Why do I say that you're the best? Because you're the most dedicated. I'm heartfelt today. I'm feeling emotionally heartfelt and grateful for you guys because, man, you're really doing it. And at the heart of this whole podcast and at the heart of pretty well everything I do is the heart for the person who has gumption. Project-based, entrepreneur-based, you know, getting pushed off the cliff a little based. That's what I do. And I'm so happy because you know what? My guest today does exactly that. Her name is Toni. If you've been to any very cool event all over the world, her name's probably somewhere there. You just got to dig a little bit. You know, as the movie scrolls come up and you're like, ah, presented by a very incredible woman who loves to see people take the stage, whatever that means, whether that's you presenting in front of one person or, as she puts it, one in front of many. So I'm excited because you know what? If you are taking the mission and you are jumping off the cliff a little bit, or you know what? You've been doing this for a while. I mean, hey, we've been doing this for a while. If you've been doing it for a while, sometimes you need something a little different and you need something to make you a little nervous in the belly. And I think that's where Toni, that's where she shines. She encourages people to be a little nervous in the belly, but really put themselves out there. And that's what makes her happy. And that's her mission. So let's get into that a little bit. Toni, welcome to Mission Accepted.
Well, I am so excited to be here. And hello, audience. a great honor. I love you, Deborah. And we met through LinkedIn. And I just think that, you know, just connecting with people all over is so exciting. And just thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole interesting thing. I've been doing this for a little while, I think as you, right? I'll be celebrating 31 years in this world of entrepreneurship, well, in a few months. So that being said, you know, I did most of my work belly to belly and, you know, trade shows and showing up and being there and having that, you know, oh my gosh, I've got 3 minutes to say my tagline to my business kind of thing, you know, and hopefully it makes an impact or my voice doesn't shake or whatever it is. Went through all of that. And within the last, you know, 3 years where we've had to meet people, same format that we're doing right now, what an interesting experience that's been. And what I can say to people is that it's really opened, you know, many horizons, but also it is possible to have, you know, deep friendships or meet deep business ships, whatever you want to call them, through online or LinkedIn or social platforms or these, you know, beautiful summits, or you go to a speaker's event or whatever it is. So you've been a big fan of entrepreneurship for a long time. I would definitely put you in the category of ultrapreneur. I definitely say that you're also very creative because of the event aspect. And then, you know what? Media, because here we are and speaking. So tell us a little bit of how you decided to take on the mission and, oh my gosh, why?
Well, you know, it starts at birth with me. It's been a long day, so just sit back. No, because I was born in July 30th. And it was at a time when there was no email and there was no cell phones. You know, you had one phone on the wall. And so when your birthday came around, it wasn't like you had these big birthday parties. My sister in April had these huge parties and the whole class showed up. Well, by the time that my birthday came along, school was out. It was summer vacation. You had the 7 people that would come over and swim in your backyard above ground pool. And on that day, they'd bring presents. You'd have cake. I mean, literally, that was my birthday. And I was seeing my sister get 40, 50 gifts and me, you know, get 5 or 6 pool toys. You know, and it wasn't that I, you know, was jealous, but yeah, okay, I was. So I decided that I would start throwing my own parties in middle school, and I would start promoting them before school was over. And they'd have themes, roller skating parties or Farrell's ice cream parties. And, you know, and I'd start promoting them so people knew about them and I would stay connected. So it was kind of like inbred in me to start doing events. So when I went into the corporate world right out of college, my degree was in communications and PR. I started doing all the corporate parties, you know, the holiday party, the corporate meetings, the advisory boards. And that kind of led to a business of event planning before event planning was even a major in school or a title. I just was the girl that put on the parties. So I saw a need and started to fulfill it. And so when I didn't get married till I was 41, had my son at 43, and was a stay-at-home mom, I became the Uber fundraising chair, PTA mom, you know, took their jogathon from $8,000 to $45,000, you know, brought in sponsors. You know, I'm addicted. I call myself an eventaholic. So I have a problem and a need to throw a party or an event whenever possible. So that's kind of the backstory of how I got into what I'm doing and what I did.
So when you said that it started from birth, you were not fibbing. It's interesting. I talk about when people take on the mission and the different ways and hows they decide to do that, right? Some people are dragged in by their partner. Their best friend says, let's do this together. They do an MBA. They get all their data and then they decided to venture into something. They lose their job and 2 weeks later, they decide they're going to open up their own bakery or they're going to do this or they're making pies out of their kitchen or they're, you know, massaging out of their living room or right. What have you. You truly have a unique story where you had a need and yeah. You filled it.
Yeah, exactly.
But this time it was your need.
And then I found that you can make money. You can make money at it and like, oh, wow, I can throw a party for someone else and get paid. Wow, yeah. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, I so relate to you. My birthday is December 18th and my son is December 27th and Dorothea, who you know as well. So, man, double sucks. And I did not find kind when people would give me a gift saying this is for Christmas and birthday. I actually started celebrating my birthday September 18th. Right? Because my birthday is December 18th and I picked September 18th just for that reason. Just for that reason.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. So it sounds fantastic and it's because it's events and it's parties, but let's talk about, you know, what was some of that stuff that kept you going? I mean, you talked about being, you know, throwing parties for more than just 5 years or something. Like what was it about entrepreneurship that kept you going through the muck? Because did you have any muck or was it all party?
Well, no, it was in the beginning doing it for other people. And then my husband said to me one day, could you kind of do this and make some money for us instead of everybody else? Because I was doing all these fundraising. He goes, why don't you, you know, fundraise for the family? And so I ended up finding this eWomen network group. I was invited to a luncheon. I went to it. And I met all these entrepreneurs. Now, mind you, I'd been in the corporate world, the entertainment world. I did movie premieres. I did all those kind of things, but it was through a corporation. And I found all these amazing coaches, authors, speakers, and they all were like, I want to do an event. So I saw a need. And so I went, okay, I'm going to do these women's business boot camps. And I started building those up. And then people started getting interested in that. And like, can you do it for me? And so I would do their events and that led to bigger events and bigger events because I had to grow it. But it came out of seeing a niche in the market that was missed and going, you know, I have a skill set that these people need and meshing those two because speakers, I love them dearly, but a lot of people, they're always looking for the stage to go on. Why not build a stage? Why not do a Zoom event, or why not do a webinar? There's all kinds of things that you can do at the drop of a hat. And now after the pandemic, we're finding that events that are really thriving and doing well are the smaller ones. You don't need to have 700 to 1,000 people in a room. You can have a great event with 75 to 100 people and probably close more business in that room than you ever did with 600.
Great. You know, well said. finding the niche. I think listening, you know, like listening to what people are saying. So if you are an entrepreneur or you're venturing or you're thinking of, look, and I don't know why I'm talking about hairdressers, maybe because I'm trying to find someone to do my lashes before an event on Saturday, my lash ladies in Europe. Okay. But look, if you're sitting there and you're cutting people's hair all day and you're hearing that there's a consistent need from them, what is it? What is it? I'm sure that when people first thought of delivering groceries to your door, like, remember, I remember that concept and people like, I'm like delivering groceries to my door, but I want to pick my groceries, but I wanted to, like, if you are sitting and you are listening to people and there's some kind of consistent theme, I think that there's something to be said for that. Really, instead of being part of that conversation that has the same need, filling that need. Now, not that we can do everything to everybody, but you know, you were listening, like you were listening and you had the skill set to answer that. Now you can either have it or you can go get it. You can have it or you can go get it. I think that that's brilliant. I remember a very good friend of mine who made a lot of money in the stock market. Now he ran a sales team that sold eyeglasses. You guys, I don't want to tell you how much profits in eyeglasses. It would make you not want to buy them. Okay, huge. So he ran his sales team that did $12 million a year selling some glasses. But he was listening and he kept hearing the same thing. It wasn't even in that sector. It was in a completely different, it was in agriculture to say the least. And he just kept seeing it and hearing little snippets about it and people talking about it. And then he started to deep dive and he deep dived for probably a year and a half or 2 years until he started to follow and see. And then he bought and, you know, was a pretty considerable multimillionaire within 24 months. So I think really listening is what when I was listening to you, that's what I got. So.
Well, and also not only just listening, but niching down. Like you have these weight loss consultants and I use them because everybody needs to lose weight, right? And so you say, who is your ideal client? And they go, everybody. And it's like, no, it's, if you're trying to sell to everybody, you're selling to no one. Who is yours? Are they women who have just had a baby and they're trying to lose the baby fat? Are they women over 50 going through menopause and having a hormonal changes? Are they men that are trying to bulk up and get good looking so they can get a date? Who is your specific ideal client? And niche it down because that's where the money is, in the niches. And then once you do that, it doesn't mean that that grandma down the street's not going to say, can you help me lose weight? You can help everyone, but you need to have a focus. And if you're not focused, people won't understand what you do and they won't see themselves. I got to see myself in you. I got to go, oh, she knows my unique problem and she has a way to solve it.
And that's really an interesting piece because for entrepreneurship, it can be very general based in the sense of the voice of the entrepreneur gets fearful, right? Because you're looking for clients, you're looking for business, you want to see the bottom line grow. And the fear in niching is that you're losing business, right? But you're telling us that it's actually the other way around.
It is the other way around because then you get known as an expert in your field and people go, oh my gosh, you want to do a business event? Talk to Tony. She does business event. I don't do weddings. I don't do anniversary parties. I don't do corporate meetings. That's not my niche. My niche is the entrepreneurial business meeting.
Awesome. Okay. Good to know. Yeah. Okay. So you are, and you love to see people get on stage, whatever that means to them. Can you give us a little bit more about that? Because when you say stage to some people, they lean in, they're like, tell me where, can't wait. And some people go, you should talk to my friend. I'm great at what I do, but I was talking to a woman yesterday, as you know, I've got an event coming up and she's like, I sweat and I break out and and she so badly needs to have that. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, what I found doing events, I found that speakers, they don't know what they don't know. Very key. They don't know that it is a business. There is a way to run your business as a speaker to maximize your impact, monetize your message, and build your community, right? But a lot of people don't realize that it is, when you get on stage, it has nothing to do with you. Take your ego out of it. It is all about the audience. I'm in the back of the room and I'm watching the audience. And if my audience is getting up and going to the bathroom, or they're pulling out their phone and they're texting, or, you know, they're just talking to the person next to them, they cannot, you cannot engage your audience and make the host happy if you are not sharing your stories, sharing your message, and go out onto a stage with the giving philosophy. Give first, share always, lift others as you climb. Those are great ways to really understand what your mission is on stage. Your mission, if you're walking on that stage and saying, oh my gosh, there's 100 people in the room, I have a $2,000 program, I got to sell 20% of the room so that I can make my money back, and you'll never sell. You have to go out in a serving mode. So if you can get the ego out of it, it'll calm you down. And if you say it's not about me, the audience wants to love you. We're not paying to be in the room to sit there and critique you. So you shouldn't be nervous. A little nerves are good because that adds to the adrenaline and it gets you kind of up and going. So that's a good thing. Play with it. You don't see an Olympic swimmer. I love it when the reporter will go up and say, are you nervous? No, I'm excited. It's the same thing. They're excited. They're excited to get up there. You should be excited to be up there and to share your message, because there is one person in that audience, one person waiting to hear it, and they need it. So talk to that one person. Talk to that ideal client that's in the audience. Don't try and close the whole room. You're just closing one person. And in closing that one person, you're going to get more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And so let's dig a little deep into that, because, okay, you know, there's a lot of people that speak, and you've got people that have multiple business. I don't know which one I'm going to talk about. You've got people that, if I really want to tell my story, I've had a story of trauma and I've recovered. I want to share that story. I want to inspire those people, but I got 20 minutes to speak. I got 10 minutes to speak. I've got, you know, half an hour to speak. How can I do both? I mean, you must come up against these conversations, right? So what's your recommendation for people to know my story? Is it the business story? Is it the personal story? Or do you decide what you're going to talk to at different events for different things?
I think the first question to ask is, who is the audience? Who are they? Are they entrepreneurs? Are they corporate C-suites? Are they employees? Are they moms? Are they dads? Are they divorcees? Figure out what the audience is. And then ask the host, what do you think is their pain point? Why do you think they're coming to this event? What do they want to learn? And then if you have something that resonates with that, I always say, facts tell, stories sell. So you need to really tell your story, because you have to tell them why you are uniquely qualified to do what you do. I am uniquely qualified to teach speakers the business of speaking because I'm an event producer and I've been in that business. I know what they don't know. That's why I'm uniquely qualified to talk about this. But why are you? What makes you so special? And don't spend, if you have 20 minutes, I was just at an event yesterday, and she had 35 minutes, and I watched on my watch. She spent 15 minutes telling us about herself and why she's on the stage. Know that the host has vetted you. They have basically said, you need to hear this person. So you don't have to sell yourself. Go up there, start talking and sharing. And what you learn to do is chunk your talk. If you have like an introduction, you're going to do a 60-minute talk. You have 5-10 minutes that you're going to talk about your background or whatever it is. You're not going to be talking about, oh, I graduated here or whatever, but you're going to tell your story and why you're uniquely qualified. You have more time on the stage to do that. Then you're going to find 3 to 5 really good nuggets that they can take action on immediately when they leave the room. You want the audience to be writing down going, oh, I can do that. I can do that. And when they leave, they're like, oh my God, I learned so much from her. So that is like, if you're doing a 40-minute talk, 45-minute talk, 5 minutes each on 5 different topics. So that's 25 minutes on each tip. And then you reiterate what you just told them. And then if you're selling them, you're offering them the opportunity to work with you further. If you really love what you learned today, just think what we could do in my 6-week program, that kind of thing. But don't you be seeding it the whole way. But don't, like, all of a sudden, I see a lot of speakers, they switch their personalities when they come to the sale. And they've been sharing stories and they've been talking like this. It's been lovely. Then all of a sudden they go, now I want to give you the opportunity. You know, it becomes the sales pitch. It should all flow easily. But if you chunk it and you say, all right, 45 minutes, I'm going to chunk it. Then what you do for a 30-minute talk, you knock down those chunks and maybe you gave 5 tips on a 45-minute talk. On a 30-minute talk, you're only going to give 3. On a 20-minute talk, you're going to say 3, but you're going to go deep on 1. A 10-minute talk, you're going to give 1 really good nugget. If you have all those laid out, because as an event producer, what happens when the speaker comes in and they say, hey, listen, we're running along. I know I was going to give you 45 minutes, but we just knocked it down to 30 because the other speakers went too long. You need to be able to, at that moment in time, in your head, switch it all and go, okay, I can do that. And, you know, and give a really good talk in 30 minutes and then don't complain about it.
And then don't complain about it.
Good question.
Nice piece. Nice add-on. Nice add-on, Tony. Okay.
Yeah.
So for people that are listening today and go, oh my gosh, what's your suggestions around nervousness? Because look, there's people that are nervous to get onto a call, onto a Zoom. And I know that, I mean, I've worked with lots of sales teams, as you know, and it's like, what are some of the things, like, I'm always like, hey, make sure that you are the same as they are and don't put people on a pedestal and don't come from a place of desperation, come from a place of information and all those things. So when someone's just having a difficult time or they're new in this whole speaking thing, they've got great message. What's some of the suggestions that you can give them to like leave that other part of their, you know, brain at home or what have you? Is there anything?
Yeah, no, I believe that they need practice, 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 practice.
Okay.
And you need to niche down. Don't do the 60-second. You know, I help speakers, authors, and coaches get over their blah, 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 so that they can blah, blah, blah to blah, blah, blah. That template. You should be able to say what you do in 11 words or less. I help speakers build their business on stages and build their business and community using stages. And people go, ooh, tell me about that. Have them lean in and want to know more. But I think when you're on a phone call or if you're trying to close a client, I think curiosity is the word you use. Be curious. Find, you know, so what are you looking for? What is your biggest obstacle right now? What challenge are you going through? Let's talk about, you know, it's not about you. Just start asking questions. And as you're writing down their answers, you're going to mentally go, oh, I can help them with that. I can help them with that and go, you know what? I've got so many things going through my head right now that we can do to work together. But one of them I want to leave you with right now that I think you can work on right now when we get off the call and then share that golden nugget. Because they think, oh my God, she gave that to me for free. What will she do if I actually invest in myself and work with her? So it's about giving. I really get turned off by speakers who get up there and say, hey, I've got 5 things that can change your life. And then they spend the time talking about the title of that one thing or whatever. But you know what? Work with me and we can go deep and do that. Don't come from that. Come from a really giving. Because if you are a person that is giving out things for free, people think, oh my goodness, what could she do if I invested in myself?
Right.
Is there anything else? To give it away.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you can, because you've obviously watched a lot of stages, you know, you've watched a lot of people present. What are some of the things that make the audience not pick up their phone? What are some of the things that make the audience tell their friend who's trying to talk to them, I'll talk to you later? What are the things that make people go into their bag or to their pocket or their briefcase and try to find a pen and paper?
Okay, so the king of this, and you might not know him, his name is Bo Eason. B-O-E-A-S-O-N. Look him up on YouTube. He comes onto the stage and he spends 90 minutes and all he does is tell stories. He was an ex-NFL football player who got majorly injured and then did a one-man show. And now he has this there is no B, there's only your A team or something like this. And it's all about working with the best. And he gets up And he doesn't say, "Hi, I'm Bo. I'm here. Thank you so much for having me." He goes right into a story and he uses the whole stage. And it's all about stories. And it's all about, you know, I wanted to be the best quarterback in football, so I worked with the best. I wanted to be the best one-man show, so I worked with these people to teach me how to be on the stage. I wanted to work with the best, so I did this. So if you want to be the best, I want to help you, you know, that kind of thing. So that's his selling thing. And he closes that room like no one I've ever seen, but it's just using stories. You know, you have to tell us, why should I want to be in your world? Like if I'm going through a horrible divorce and I'm struggling with my finances or whatever, and you get up there and you say, you know, "Oh, I graduated with my degree in finance and I help women." No, my husband came home. I came home one day and the house was empty. My husband taken everything out of the house, moved, emptied my bank account, and went off to Cabo with his secretary. And then I'm like, you can relate to me about what I'm going through, you know, but I changed it all. And this is what I did. And this is what I learned. And I can help you do the same. It's a whole different story.
It's a whole different story. Fantastic. Okay. Let's shift a little bit. I know, I want to ask you a couple of things. First of all, I know that it's a big mission of yours and you love to see women step into it, right? You love to see them own their story. So you've got some things coming on and I want to make sure that we get to that. So tell us, what is it? So someone's like, "Oh, what does Toni do? She throws like what?" So define for us what you do. And I know that you have some things coming up, but then I have some other questions that I'm just dying to ask.
Okay. So just a little background. I had, a huge year coming up doing events, and 2020 hit. And as we know, COVID, everything stopped. I had to in March, 2 weeks before the shutdown, we saw it coming because we were doing a huge event at the LA Convention Center. We had 25,000 people coming and we had to shut it down because our speakers from Africa and Paris and all these places, they couldn't get on planes. So we saw it coming. So we had to shut that down and then go virtual. And so it was a very tough year because my clients are going, "So do you think April we can do it? Should we push it to May?" You know, and we're like, "Yeah, no. And it just was, it was very trying. So I was just done by the end of the year. I said, "I don't want to do events for other people. I don't like this Zoom thing. I just, you know, I want to get back to live events." And so I had a one-on-one with one of my mentors, Sandra Yancey. And she said, "So what else do you do?" And I said, "Well, I teach the business of speaking at my academy for speakers." So she said, "Well, why don't we turn that into a coaching program?" So that's what I did. So I built that coaching program and I moved from California to Texas, like a lot of people are doing nowadays. And Texas is where eWomen is corporate offices. So they actually have now brought my Academy for Speakers under their eWomen Speakers Network. So I am working with them to get more women speakers on stages. Where I love you men, but we're tired of just listening to you. Women have a different perspective. And so we want to see more women on bigger stages. So that's kind of my mission. And through that, we are launching Speakonomics. And they are two-day workshops where we're going to be traveling them around the United States, where you can come and learn from experts about how to do a podcast, how to get on stages, how to have your own stage, all the things you know. And it's going to be very workshoppy, not talking heads. And then the second day of the workshop, we are doing North America's Next Greatest Speaker Contest. So you can apply and have 10 people give up, get their 3-minute talk. We're going to take 3 from each city, bring them to the eWomen conference, put them on our big stage, and then choose a winner. So it's going to be a really fun year just traveling around and helping speakers and mostly female speakers get out there and build their business on stages.
All right. Well, boom, that's a drop of the mic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a definition of pivot. I know we're all sick of that word. I want to ask you about you a little bit. So You clearly make a lot of dreams come true for a lot of people. You clearly get people past their own stuff and get out there so that they can share their word with others. I mean, that's really about sharing the story. So I want to ask you, doesn't have to be business, can be personal, but we all have bucket lists. I'm a big one on people sharing, if you so choose, something that is on your bucket list, because you never know who's listening and you never know. Magic has happened by sharing bucket lists, right? We keep our treasure maps and our dream boards all to ourselves. So what's something that's on your bucket list?
I think if I was, the first thing that came to my mind is I have been in the back of the room for so many years, and now I'm helping people get in the front of the room. And I'm in the front room, I do events, and I, you know, and I get up there, but I would like to be asked to be on like an Oprah stage or a big event and go out there and just kill it and share my message with a larger audience, because I have a community and they all know me and I do workshops and everything, but I just think it would be really cool to be asked to be on those, that bigger stage and have that introduction and walk on music and the whole bit, instead of, you know, being the one that produces it all yourself, you know?
Absolutely. Okay. Okay. That's good. So that's out there in the universal energetic world of someone's going to hear that and someone's going to call you. Can't wait. Yes. I'll meet you for a glass of champagne after.
And I will give you total credit for it. So no worries.
All right. There you go. Okay. I love top performance, and I'm sure you have just shared so many things on how to make what people do better. Before we kind of sign off and ask a few things, for the person who's never braved up and got on stage, can you share why it's so important to walk that walk? Why, what it can do for themselves and what it can do for their business? Like, and by the way, yay to Mike. There's got to be in the show notes, hashtag fundraise for family. I mean, I was like, I love that as a giver, as someone who, you know, did events for the family and did this and did that. And you know, and, my husband at the time, you know, I know, you know, we had it, what I called, you know, I've had a marital status change. But at the time when I was traveling around the world doing my home party companies, bless his heart, he would just like pack up suitcase and pack this and like, okay, doing it for the family. But anyways, my point is, for someone who's contemplating, like, will it really change my business? What is this speaking all about? Do I need to get up there? What do you say?
I just say to him, you know, you can spend hours and hours and hours having one-on-one phone calls, having going and meeting for coffee, and then traveling somewhere else and having lunch and going to networking events. But what would it be like if you took like 20 people and put them in a room and you stood up in front of them and you shared your message 1 to 20, 1 to 10. It doesn't have to be a big room. And when I'm talking a stage, it doesn't have to be the stage and the lighting and the music and the whole event. It's going to cost you money. Just schedule a webinar and invite people to come on, or schedule a lunch and learn and invite them onto a Zoom, and you get 10, 12 people there and you just talk. I can't tell you how the confidence in you will build. You will be thought of the expert because you've got the mic. The person with the mic in the front of the room is the expert. And they're the ones that are like, ooh, I want to get to know them. It's like, I tell a story when I was younger, my girlfriend that I lived with dated a guy in a band. And so we went to go see them. And I'm like, oh my God, he's so cute. Oh, all the band members, they're so cute. Then they came and sat in the booth with them. And I went, yeah, they're kind of dorks, you know, really. Up on that stage, they were just so attractive and sexy to me, but they weren't that in real life. It's kind of the same thing. You are just, you're thought of and you're elevated in your industry. So why not elevate yourself? And I always say, you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to do well. Your PowerPoint might not work. You might forget words, but in reality, nobody knows your script. They don't know what you're supposed to say. So if you forget something, you're the only one that knows that. Nobody else does. Just use that nervous energy as a diving board into the deep end. Just jump on in. Every great client I got or great job I got is I walked in the door and I sold myself and walked out and went, what the hell? How am I going to do this? I just, and it's like, I am one that jumps off the cliff and builds the parachute on the way down. And I tell you, that's the way to do it, because it forces you out of your comfort zone. And anything that scares you is the thing you should be walking into. Yes. So even if you're getting on a phone call and a phone call makes you nervous, write down notes for yourself and, you know, just have a conversation. Start small. Invite some people to a happy hour on Zoom. Have a conversation. Slowly get into it. You do not have to jump in the deep end and get in front of 200 people when you're not ready, because that's kind of the worst time. You don't want to make that mistake. Start right. small. Go to your chamber of commerce. Go to your rotaries. Go to your networking groups. See if you can get up and speak for 2 minutes, then speak for 10 minutes, and then 15. And pretty soon you're going to get addicted to it and you're going to love it, because you're going to feel confident and you're going to be seeing the results of that.
Awesome. Okay. Where can people reach you? How can they find out more about these classes, these groups, these programs? Tell us.
Okay. So there's a couple ways. You can email me, Toni Caruso, ToniCaruso, at ewomennetwork.com, all one word. The events are called Speakonomics. So it's speakonomics.net. You can always check that out and see where we're going to be. We're going to be in a town near you. And I'm always with eWomen Network. We have a speakers network. You just click on that link and you can connect with me there as well.
Awesome. Okay. So I am going to ask you one final question that I ask everybody, and it is incredible, the different answers. So if you don't know, and if you're listening and you don't know, you're new to this audience. I love music. It's what, you know, it's my happy place. That's what I use before I speak. I have certain music that I use depending on the size of the audience, meaning depending on the size of my nerves. So there's different music that I listen to. So I use music for so many different things. And I always say, if I'm ever late for a meeting, it's not because I'm not prompt. It's because I could not stop listening to a new band that I got turned on to. Okay. Walking Across Ireland, big event coming up. You guys know they did it, tour.ca, to help everyone in that industry. Toni, I'd love to know, you're on your way to a desert island, you and you, and you've got room in your suitcase for one album, not a playlist, not a greatest hits, one album. What album could you not imagine not listening to for the rest of your days?
One album. Oh,
that's one cool. album. I know, right? Yeah. At least it's an album. I'm not like, hey. But
I know. I mean,
what download?
Just, I mean, I was ready for a song. I had like 3 songs written down here, but the albums, yeah, no. I would have to go back and say an album that Whitney Houston did. I don't know the name of it, but it was her greatest, it's whatever it is.
A big one.
It just takes me to a place that I'm happy. And she got me over a lot of bad relationships. So it's good female power music. So I would have to say Whitney Houston. And that wasn't anything on my list, but I think that's very funny.
That is very funny. Well, I'm sure we'll have time to talk about those songs on your list, but there it is, people. So look, I am so appreciative. I know that this will not be the last time that you'll be on Mission Accepted podcast, because that's kind of how you live your life. Looking forward to seeing what's going to be going on in terms of this big event that, you know, where people are going to be speaking and, you know, getting those awards and walking across the stage. That's going to be super exciting. Can't wait to be a part of that. And you guys, look, if you want to be sitting where Toni is, this is an easy platform. So, you know, if you've never spoke before, you've never been on a podcast, me and Dorothy are so kind to the new. We're so kind to the new. We will make this comfortable for you. But if you have a message to share, we would love to see you sitting where Toni is. And I always say I'm so difficult to find. It's deb@debdrummond.com. You can contact the show. You know, debdrummond.com is the website. And look, we do have an incredible speaking event going on. You guys know that. It is the largest event that we have performed in relationship to authorship and speakership. And it is 262 women, entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, creatives, and media, rock legacy. And yes, we have some incredible rock stars like Darby Mills from the Headpins, if you guys remember her, and some just very cool people in music coming on board as well. But we tell all, and it's starting March 2023 and having a beautiful finale the night before Mother's Day, May 11th, 2024. So if you would like to speak, if you'd like to be invited, if you'd like a VIP ticket to that event because you're just not ready to get on stage, we'd love to have you. You know how to contact us. Toni, thank you so much for being with us today. So appreciate your time. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's been very fun.
awesome. And the rest of you guys, you be groovy, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.